Welcome to Wednesday night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
We're going through the book of Daniel. We're in Daniel chapter 2. We're going to go through chapter 2 tonight. A lot of scripture that I'm going to go through. Some I'm going to not read at all, but we're going to go through a bunch of it because there's a great principles that we need to understand because of this chapter, and it kind of sets the stage for what's going to proceed also in Daniel. And so let's begin. And again, if you got a question, text it and we'll answer it maybe. And we'll see what's going on. It begins with a ridiculous demand. A ridiculous demand. So Daniel has been taken captive. He's a prisoner of war, in essence. He's been being trained in all the things of the Babylon Empire, which is ungodly at its roots and at its core. And so we pick up the story where there's a ridiculous command. And one night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such disturbing dreams, he couldn't sleep. And he called in his magicians, his enchanters, his sorcerers, his astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. Now notice, don't tell me what my dream means, tell me what I dreamed. That's pretty tough. And they stood before the king, and he said, I have had a dream that deeply troubles me and must know what it means. In verse 5, the king said to the astrologer, I'm serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you'll be torn limb from limb and your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. That's not job security right there, is it? All right, so there's this whole thing. He says, this is what I'm going to happen. You've got to tell me this. Tell me what it means. They just say, hey, that's ridiculous. Verse 10, they replied to the king, no one on earth can tell the king his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. King, you're out of your mind. And the king demands, what you're demanding is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you the dream. And they don't live here among people. Yeah, you know what's coming. And the king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered all of the wise men of Babylon executed. Wow, they don't even get a shot at it. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends, because Daniel was in this group of the wise men that didn't tell all of those people. And so he asked this, you do this or I'm going to kill you. Now, that's pretty impossible. Now, before we go any farther, here's what we got to understand. Not all dreams have meaning. You know, well, maybe they do. Some meaning is you ate something bad. And you got a bad dream. You watched something bad. So don't think, oh, I had this dream. What does it mean? Not all dreams have meaning. Some dreams are just dreams and that's what they are. It's just a part of our unconscious self. But in this case, Daniel's training was in this art, how to make predictions, how to do all of this. And so the dreams were the way that they felt like the gods primarily revealed their intentions. And so Daniel's put on the spot. So secondly, there's a reliance on God. A reliance on God. Kill him. So the guy comes to get Daniel, comes to find him. Verse 14, Arioch, he's the commander of the king's guard, come to kill them. Daniel handled the situation. Now notice this, handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Do you understand that most of the times in your life, you would be much better off if when you're in a confrontation that you would just handle it calmly with wisdom and discretion instead of flying off the handle, instead of getting the back of your hair standing up on the end and they're powering up and you're going to power up right with them and try to put force on force? You understand that hardly ever works? And so what you see throughout this, we saw it in the last chapter, we see it in this chapter. Daniel's friends treat authorities with respect. That's a big deal in life. Many problems in life are caused because of disrespect for authority. And so Daniel says, look, he's going to handle this situation correctly, with courtesy. And so he asked this guy, he said, look, why is the king issued such a harsh decree? What's going on here? Why has this all happened? And so he tells him what had happened. And Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. You know, king, I wasn't here. I can tell you this. Let me know. And so Daniel went home and told his friends what had happened. And he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret. Where do you go when you're asked to do something that's impossible? Where do you go when you're in a place of impossibility? You go to the God of heaven, the God we just sung about. And they would not, so they would not be executed along with other wise men of Babylon. You think your prayer is going to be a little bit more intense if you know, if I don't get this answer right, I'm dead? Yeah, you're going to pray pretty hard, aren't you? You're going to come and say, you know, but here's the thing we have to understand. When I serve God, I don't have to fear bad news. Now, a lot of people get over, oh, the doctor said this, or the boss said this, or the TV commentator said this. You and I, as Christians, don't have to fear bad news. Why? Because we get to go to the God of heaven. And when you need a word from God, are you willing to wait or are you going to waver? Are you going to try to figure it out on your own or are you going to go to him in prayer? And so what we see is Daniel come into that place where he had a reliance on God and said, okay, this is it. I'm going to God. First choice, not the second or third. First choice. We're still good, right? Okay. Thirdly, the recognition of God. The recognition of God. So Daniel and his friends, they pray that night. Verse 19, that night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And Daniel, what's he do? He praised the God of heaven. Now, as we go through this, I want you to notice what Daniel always does as he's confronted with this. And he said, praise the name of the God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. I'll say it again, but let me say it here and I'll say it later. God's in control. Don't care what you hear. God's in control. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though surrounded by light. I thank and praise you, God, of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength, and you have told me what we ask of you and revealed to us what the king demanded. So that when you go to pray and God answers, you better be giving God credit. Because he's worthy of that. Verse 26, Daniel says, goes to the guy, he said, don't kill anybody yet. I've got the answer. He goes to the king. And the king says to Daniel, you know, also, and he uses this, you know, Belshazzar, his new name that they had given him. We talked about that last week. Is this true? Can you tell me what my dream was and what it means? King acts shocked. He asked everybody to do it. He didn't think anybody could. And Daniel replied, notice, there are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. There's nobody here who can do this. But there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and has shown Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now, I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay on your bed. Wow. Kind of spooky, huh? You know, okay, king, you ask, here it comes. I'll be able to tell you all this. Not because I can do it, not because of me. There's no one here who can do that. But there is a God who knows. And so not only does he give God credit in his personal life when he prays. Now he's before the king, and what's he doing in front of the king? King, this isn't me. This is all about God. He gives God the glory so that you and I, in our lives, When God takes care of us, thank him for it and make sure everybody else knows it's God and not you. Daniel reveals the meaning of the dream. Now, this is kind of long, and I thought about eliminating that, but I thought, nah, let's go through this because it's the part that everybody wants to know about. And so let me work through this. He reveals the meaning of the dream. While your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. He who reveals secrets has shown you what's going to happen. And it's not because I'm wiser than anyone else, here he is again, and that I know the secret of your dream, but because God wants you to understand what was in your heart. In your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge, shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. You had reason to be frightened, king. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron. Its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. And as you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. And the whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, gold, and the wind blew them away. There's no more trace of them, like chaff on the threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. That was the dream. Now let me tell you what it means. King, that's what you had. And the king's got to be mouth kind of open right now, right? Wow, this is spooky. I didn't think anybody would be able to do this, but now here it is, and they're doing this, and he's doing it, and he's going to tell me. You got his attention. Your majesty, you're the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. In other words, king, you didn't get this. God gave this to you. Nothing you have gotten in life is yours. God's given it to you. He has made you the ruler over all the inhabited world. That's how big that empire was at this point in time in history. And he's put even the wild animals and birds under your control. You're the head of gold. And after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise and take your place. After that kingdom has fallen, yet a third kingdom represented by bronze will rise to rule the world. And following that kingdom, there will be a fourth one as strong as iron. And that kingdom will smash and crush all the previous empires just as iron smashes and crushes everything it strikes. The feet and the toes you saw were a combination of iron and baked clay, showing that this kingdom will be divided. And like iron mixed with clay, it will have some of the strength of iron, but while some parts of it will be as strong as iron, other parts will be as weak as clay. And this mixture of iron and clay also shows that these kingdoms will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage. But they will not hold together, just as iron and clay will not mix. During the reign of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. Now notice this. This is the meaning of the rock cut out from the mountain, though not by human hands, that crushed to pieces the statues of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. Now notice, the dream is true and its meaning is certain. So Daniel tells him, here's what you dreamed, here's what happened, and here's what it means. And what he did was give the king a history lesson before history occurred. He talked, first of all, about the rise of the earthly kingdoms. The gold head, he said, was Babylon. The Babylon Empire went from 605 to 539 BC, about 66 years. That's how long that empire was around. Following it, the silver chest and arms was the Medes and the Persians. 539 to 331 BC, about 208 years. Following that kingdom, the bronze belly and the thigh, that was the Greeks, Alexander the Great. 331 to 146 BC, 185 years. After that, the iron legs, that's the Roman Empire. 146 BC to 395 AD, 541 years. After that, the Roman Empire, if you study history, was kind of decapitated, it was diminished, it wasn't as great as it once was. And so what you find in the East and the West, it merged with different nations. It never became the empire that it was. It tried to form these little pockets of nations, little pockets of rulership, of power, and never amounted to much, but it still had an influence. That's the last part. That went on for probably about another 800 to 1,000 years. And so what he's showing him, here's what history is going to look like. Here's what's going to happen to you. Here's what's going to take place. But he also shows him the rise of the eternal kingdom. You know, because during the Roman Empire, there is this birth that takes place, the Messiah. And here's what Luke says about him. Jesus looked at him and said, "What does the scripture mean? The stone that the builder rejected has now become the cornerstone. Everyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone it falls on. The kingdoms of this world will be turned to dust and be gone. But the rock that comes will be great and eternal and last forever." That's history. The rock starts small, becomes large. Starts with the birth of Messiah, who when he is crucified looks like he was a failure. But the church marches on, and he says to Peter, "Upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." And it keeps growing and going and will to the very end. And so this chapter gives us a picture of history. He predicts it ahead of time. He says it's certain. All of those kingdoms are now washed away, aren't they? They don't exist. But the kingdom of God still advances, doesn't it? And then because of what he was able to do, Daniel's rewarded. Now, this is a great reward. Here's going to be the problem in the chapters ahead. People hate him because of it. Now, whenever you're used by God and successful, people don't like you. That's a whole other area we could get into. The king Nebuchadnezzar threw himself down before Daniel and worshiped him. And he commanded his people to offer sacrifices and burn sweet incense before him. And the king said to Daniel, "Truly your God is the greatest of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret." Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. And he made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over all of his wise men. Boy, that didn't go well with the wise men. We'll see it later. Don't forget that, because that comes into play later. And as Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained in the king's court. What a story. Let me give you five lessons to remember. Five things that you and I need to pick up out of this that it teaches us and what we have to understand. Number one, God knows and controls the future. No matter what you see or watch or hear, God is in control. And everything that he is doing is going towards this time when you and I will one day be with him forever, and he will be the ruler of all people everywhere. He will destroy this earth. He will create a new heaven and a new earth. God is still in control. And make no mistake about it, no matter what you see happening, no matter what you hear about how bad things are, No matter, you don't hear this on any of the news stations, even the good ones, if there are any. That's a little joke, but okay. God is in control. Oh, but it's getting so bad. God is in control. But look at what's happening. God is in control. He knows what's happening. He's still in charge. He knows and he controls the future. I mean, just think of it. He gives this king a dream about what's going to happen for the next 1,000+ years, 2,000 years. Tells him the history of it all. And it all happened, didn't it? Exactly like he was told. So God knows and controls the future. Secondly, without God, the future is frightening. You see, if you listen to everything and take God out of the equation, you've got reason to be afraid. But since God is in the equation, please hear me. I believe this is going to be the biggest battle that most people and most Christians will have and are having. You do not need to be afraid. I'm afraid to go out at night. Why? God will take care of you. Well, but what if somebody does that? Here's the worst that can happen to me. I leave this, well, no, that's the best that could happen to me. The best that can happen to me is I get to leave this life and go to the next one. And so I don't have to be afraid. Now, I want to use common sense. You know, I trust people, but I lock my car. I'm not going to worry about the car. If somebody wants it, they can have it. But I'm not going to leave the keys in the ignition for them. I'll lock it. I don't have to be afraid. What's happening here, Pastor? What do you think about this? I don't know. God's in control. I'm not. Neither are the people you think are. And I don't have to be afraid of what's going on. God's going to take care of me. God will help me. I just wish I could get that into all of you. Thirdly, when trouble comes, put your faith in God. What did Daniel do when trouble came? Give me a moment. I'm going to spend the night praying. And I believe God will direct my steps and give me the answer that I need. I will trust in him. And so I put my faith in him. What about this one? I don't know. But I trust God. I put my faith in him. And when I need an answer, I can talk to him and he'll talk to me and he'll help me. And my faith is not in the economy. It's not in which political party's in charge. It's not in a job. It's not in a lot of things that people are putting their faith in. All right, my faith is in God. And God is in control. And he always does what's right. And he cares about me. And he will take care of me. Nothing will happen to me until my time comes. And I will put my faith and trust in him. Well, I just can't trust anybody. What about God? You can trust him. And then he'll help you trust other people. So when trouble comes, God, you're here. No matter what happens, faithfully honor God. What did Daniel do? God, thank you for giving me the answer. God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, God, for being with me. King, I want you to know this isn't me. This is God. I want you to make sure God gets the credit for all of this. I want you to understand this is not about me. This is about God. And later on in some of the chapters, you know, the guys are going to be all ticked off. Well, the God that he serves, he does this. You know, they're going to get upset with all this. But you see, God will take care of me. And when God directs me and when he provides for me, I make sure I give him the credit. God, thank you. No matter how small it is, God, thank you. Whenever God has placed you, no matter where you're at, God wants you to reveal him to others. And we use another term for this, another way of saying this is, I want God to get all the glory. I want God to get all the credit. And I want to make sure that my life honors him. And I'm not going to take credit for things. God helps me. And it's not God helps those who help themselves. God doesn't need your help. God alone. And so no matter what happens, we faithfully honor God. Fifthly, God's kingdom will exist forever. Forever. Eternity is real. Eternal life. God's, I get to live forever. I get to be with God forever. It's not just about the moment here. It's not just about my time here on earth. There is much more than just the years I spend here on this earth. I get to live with God forever because he has a kingdom, and here's what the Bible says, his kingdom will never end. Never. That's what the statue says. Yeah. That's what Daniel tells him. Look, there's a rock that came. It destroyed everything else that existed. But all that rock does is just keeps getting bigger. And it just keeps growing. And it'll last forever. All the things that man makes and does, it's temporary. You know, only one life to live, soon passed. Only what's done for God lasts. And so when you think everything is lost, think again. When you think we're living in horrible times, and think again. When you think you're all alone in this world, think again. God is faithful, and God is in control, and I don't have to be afraid. And God will take care of me, and I will give him the glory and the honor and the praise because he is worthy, and I get to be with him forever. That's that chapter. Great chapter. Great chapter. So tonight, is there one of these things that you struggle with? Maybe it's the fear thing. Maybe it's not giving God the credit. Maybe it's not looking to him soon enough. And maybe you're worried about the future and you're listening to all this stuff and you think things are just going. Maybe you need to remind yourself God's still in control. And maybe you just think this life is it. We don't live for this life. We live for another one. And so where is it that you're struggling with that? And so as I conclude in prayer, would you just take a moment, just you and God help me with this. God, help me to fix this and to change this and not allow this to control my life. Father, tonight, thank you. We read a story about an ungodly king who is reminded that God is in charge and his position is there because of God, but that he will not last forever. But we serve a God whose kingdom never ends. The God who's in charge of history. The God who's in control of all things. And we can come to you and you hear us and you help us and you direct us. Help us not to be afraid. And help us learn to live for that day. That day when you and I get to look at each other face to face. Thank you for that moment. And we get to go from this place tonight giving you the glory for it all with grateful hearts. Thank you. Go with us now as we go, we pray. My name. Everybody said? Amen.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.